This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Every morning, I open a jar of Resonance 104.4 FM. Then I spread it on my mind.
Chairman of the party.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's guest is Orlando Harrison. Orlando Harrison is a musician, sound artist, writer and thought criminal living and working in London. He has played with Alabama 3, Dr. Miasma and the Carousel of Headless Horses. I'm going to stop there. Orlando, is that all one band, Dr. Miasma and the Carousel of Headless Horses, or is it two bands?
That is one very ornate sort of prog rock band that I used to be in.
Okay, all right. Guapo and Amal Gamal, these are all different bands.
They're all different bands, yeah.
And he has been the writer and presenter of The Wrong Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. And a host of Poltroon, the literary saloon. In 2010, he starred in a commercial for Roundtree's Fruit Pastels, which we won't mention. And in 2016, he was artist in residence for the Radical Voices season at Senate House Library. He identifies as pseudo non-binary, which he didn't want me to mention, but I have.
I thought we agreed, William.
I know, and the fruit pastels.
Both of those subjects are off limits. And try and stay on message.
I'll have a go, yes. Yeah. Okay. And that was these bands. Perhaps you could tell me a bit about these various, are they all still extant?
No. Some of them, a lot of them in abeyance. Alabama 3 is still going.
Yeah.
And Guapo, I think, is still going in some other form.
And in fact, we've missed one off, haven't we?
Actually, we have, yes. I forgot to mention.
I should have added this to the list. The Daughters of Something.
My current red hot, rad femme, queer punk project, along with Trixie Malixie, called Daughters of God.
Daughters of God, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's ongoing with Alabama 3. These are the ones that are most active.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so what are we going to do today? What's your agenda for the programme?
I thought it was your agenda.
No, I'm your guest.
Right, I thought it was my agenda, but we were going to pretend that it was yours.
I see, all right. Yeah. Well, what are we starting with?
Well, you told me that you were frightfully interested in all my sound art work.
Indeed,
I am.
You
said it was very important, interesting work, and it was...
Yeah.
Vital that the nation should hear it at the nearest possible opportunity.
This was when you had a gun to my head, I think.
it was just a water pistol.
You persuaded me. Okay. So all right. So should we start with the Dylan Thomas item?
Okay. Yes. This. Yeah. That's a good idea because this is the one we tried to play last time I was on the show, and failed. Because I bought the wrong file, but that's not going to happen today.
No.
Because now I am a model of efficiency.
Okay, so we're going to kick off with this. I'm calling it the Dylan Thomas piece, but perhaps you should expand.
It's called Craft or Art, and it's based on a short poem by Dylan Thomas called In My Craft or Sullen Art. And basically, I've just stretched it to the point of unfeasibility, and there's loops going on inside the stretching, and it's...
Right.
Just that kind of thing. I think you're starting this one. Because
I will, indeed. Yeah. But was this a sort of stand-alone piece? This wasn't part of your Senate House project, and you just created this?
Yeah, no, it's something I came up with while I was doing The Wrong Show. I've always liked Dylan Thomas, and I've always been interested in working with language and the spoken word.
Yeah.
I've done a few things where I've taken poets and I've kind of made new works out of their language. and sort of mutated them. And,
okay.
Yeah.
When only the moon rages and the lovers lie abed with all their griefs in their arms, I labour by singing light, not for ambition or bread, or the strut and trade of charms on the ivory stages, but for the common wages of their most secret heart. Not for the proud men, apart from the raging moon I write on these spindrift pages, nor for the towering dead with their nightingales and psalms, but for the lovers, their arms round the griefs of the ages, who pay no praise or wages, nor heed my craft or art.
This is a fairly extended piece, it actually goes on for 30 minutes, I think.
Yeah, the original poem, I think, lasts just for a couple of minutes.
Right, and that's Dylan Thomas's voice as him reading it.
That's his own voice, yeah.
And when it starts, you can actually hear the click of vinyl.
Taken
from a vinyl record, obviously.
It is, yeah, and it's nice because those little scratches have actually become trapped within the loops along with his voice, and it introduces a kind of quite a subtle percussive element.
Right.
With the loops, which is quite nice, I think.
Yeah. Which we heard a burst of it there, I think. So did you use some sort of very rigorous system for breaking the poem up, or is it entirely intuitive?
It's a process. Yeah, you could say it's consistent. It's working its way through the poem. It's taking small, I don't know how long, you know, fifth of a second chunks, and then looping the chunk at the same. Well, there's two things going on. One is the whole poem has been stretched to the length of half an hour.
Right.
And it's quite a weird feeling when I was doing that, when I was stretching the poem. You get this weird feeling like you shouldn't be doing it. There's something, I thought, I'm going to break the poem if I keep stretching it. What happens if I stretch it a bit more?
Right.
And actually the interesting thing is the more you stretch something, you'd think it would somehow lose, but it gets more and more interesting in a way.
Yeah. But this what we're hearing at the moment, this isn't part of that stretched is it? There must be several tracks to this, or?
There's basically two tracks.
The stretched one is underneath it.
Yeah, this kind of ghostly moaning. Those are just the sounds of the syllables.
Right.
You know, and
so that's the straight poem, which has just been elongated.
Yeah.
And then over the top of it, you've chopped it up and...
It's working through the poem with in series of little loops. So it's trapping little sibilants and little consonants.
Right.
It's an alternating sample, so that actually it goes forwards and then backwards.
Right.
So it creates this nice smooth loop.
When did you do this?
That would have been about 3 years ago, I think, while I was doing the last Wrong Show.
Okay. And have you done it to any other poems, or do you just single this one out?
I did a similar thing. I did another thing with Dylan Thomas before. I've also done a work with Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot. That's kind of different. That's more kind of composed and dramatic. But in a way, I prefer this one, just because it's simpler and, you know, it's less contrived in a way.
Yeah.
I've done it with other similar things, with other sound sources. Shut up, Dylan. If you'd like to hear another example, I've got a piece based on some audio recordings by Alan Carr. Not the camp comedian.
No, that was my first assumption, which was you corrected me about that.
Yeah, no, that would be frightening. It's Alan Carr, as in Alan Carr's Easy Way. For anybody who doesn't know, Alan Carr produced a series of books and audio tapes designed to help people stop smoking.
Okay.
And I was staying with my mum in Istanbul at that point. I was actually attempting to stop smoking.
Right.
Somebody had given me a copy of this CD of him talking.
Yeah.
It's not, the first thing was a book. So you read the book and he sort of brainwashes you. It's very clever kind of, there's a bit of an NLP in it too, but there's something about the rhythm of the words and the language.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, you're supposed to keep smoking while you're reading the book.
Oh, really?
And then at the end of it, you throw the fags away and that's it, you don't smoke anymore.
Right.
And did
it work for you?
It did, actually. Oh, I tried the book first.
But you are a serious smoker, aren't you?
I
have noticed this. This is part of your persona, is your smoking.
Is my complete lack of self-will, yes. Thank you very much.
I wasn't going to say that. But you vape, don't you?
I vape now, yes.
Quite a lot, I've noticed. I mean, it's sort of... You're quite a serious vapor in the sense that you do buy these limited edition sort of... I don't know anything about it. I'm a non-smoker, but you buy this liquid.
Yes.
which you put into the vaping contraption.
That's right. It's great. It's like it's like having a fag and a pudding at the same time.
But isn't it as it contains nicotine or not? Well, there's no nicotine, but it is still harmful.
I think we're sort of drifting away from the very important.
Well, we can pin this down. We can pin this down fairly quickly. Is it dangerous?
I can tell you.
Is it bad for your health?
I can tell you, it's not nearly as bad as smoking.
No, but that wasn't my question. My question is, does the vaping still contain some essence of the cigarette?
Yeah, probably inevitably in about 5 years, I'll probably grow an extra head or,
You're being very evasive now. You're being evasive, as addictive personalities do tend to...
I can stop any time. No, it definitely is better. It's not, obviously, it's not as glamorous. And you do feel like a bit of a sort of steampunk twat, standing with this sort of robotic dummy in your hand. But I suppose it's worth it for an extra 10 years of life.
But how long had you smoked before you took on this Alan Carr book in order to try and stop?
Yeah.
So you must have had you thought you had a problem with it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. No, I was on my way to the hospital. Yeah, and it worked for 11 months, so I didn't smoke at all for 11 months, so that's pretty good.
But it's
something about the voice, and then I listened to the CD, and he's very interesting. The language is, he's this sort of avuncular figure, but at the same time he's sort of brainwashing you, and some of the language he uses is actually quite sort of torrid and strange when you get down to it, although he's a sort of suburban sort of figure.
Yeah.
So just from listening to this thing, I thought, I'll make a piece out of it.
Right. Okay.
Which I can play for you now, if that would amuse you.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Shall we move over to that then? I shall fade out Dylan Thomas, and we'll go with your Alan Carr piece then.
Okay, it's called Tears of Joy.
I sometimes experience times when I know the exact words I want to say, but can't get them out because I become over-emotional. I'm experiencing one of those moments now. Fortunately, I sit here alone and am embarrassing no one but myself. I sometimes experience times when I know the exact words I want to say, but can't get them out because I become over-emotional. I'm experiencing one of those moments now. Fortunately, I sit here alone and am embarrassing no one but myself. I sometimes experience a First, remove the illusion of pleasure. Then the feeling of sacrifice goes. I know the exact words. The schizophrenia has been removed. Sing once.
I'm experiencing one of those moments.
Can't get them out because I become over.
To hear if anybody listening at home is any.
Well, I was going to say that how many people have started smoking since.
Hopefully everybody listening will have immediately stopped smoking. Sorry.
So that's cool. This is the Alan Carr piece.
Yeah, Tears of Joy, it's called.
Tears of Joy, okay. And does it have a place? I mean, do you release these tracks at all on, or are they just your own sound works, as it were?
Yeah, never been released. I should get round to. I've probably got enough for kind of an album now. So,
right.
I know if anybody's interested, or I suppose I could just do a Bandcamp thing. I should probably get round to it. I'm incredibly lazy, but I will do this.
Okay, all right. Any issues with copyright with any of these pieces, Dylan Thomas, Alan Carr?
Ooh, yes.
Are they going to go for you?
Oh, yes, actually.
Sorry, I hadn't mentioned that. Perhaps right. We should stick to the fruit pastels.
You just fired up the enthusiasm. Okay. Now the project is immediately dead in the water. Thanks.
Right, sorry about that. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, yes, probably the.
Could they be for educational purposes, in which case perhaps there is no copyright?
Ah, okay. Well, I mean, yes, I suppose. I mean, once I release these tracks, obviously they will become, you know, a worldwide sensation, in which case everybody's going to want a piece of it, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
So it's probably best if I do it under the radar.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, so we shouldn't broadcast it on the radio, for example, or anything like that, in case it's, you know, in case.
Don't!
All right. So, does this have any relevance to your artist in residence post at Senate House Library?
Yeah, only insofar as, you know, the content or the material is similar. It's the human voice. I was asked to do a residency in conjunction with an exhibition called Radical Voices at Senate House, which was an exhibition of their part of their huge collection of radical and progressive literature and posters and books and letters and so on, going all the way back to the 17th century.
Was there a connection with Ron Heisler, or is that something else?
That's right. Ron Heisler, who has been donated to the library for quite a while, has donated his vast collection of political pamphlets that he's been collecting since the 30s, I think.
Right.
From all kinds of strange groups and splinter groups and left wing, factions. And that was one of the most interesting parts of the collection. He also, my initial problem was that there was hardly any audiovisual material in the exhibition. But Ron was very, very helpfully provided me with his small collection of CDs of political speeches, and that formed the basis of the pieces that I did for the residency.
Right. And were you commissioned to do this? How did that come about? You know, this was from is it University College or Imperial College?
It's the UCL. It's part of the UCL, I think.
Okay, University College London, and the Senate House Library. So, what did they do? They asked for projects applications. Or
I was told about it by a friend of mine who works as the systems librarian there, Andrew Chandler. She told me that they were setting this thing up for sound artists to come and do their stuff in the library. Hmm. And before me was the sound artist Hannah Thompson, who actually may magically appear towards the end of this show.
Right.
Because I told her we were doing this. She's been very busy creating an event.
Yeah.
Which, is that her?
It's somebody else. It's all right.
Oh, there's a ghostly figure at the door.
No.
I
was just waving to somebody.
Yeah, she was the previous sound artist. We're actually doing a thing together at the end of the month, which I will talk about later.
Yeah.
She did something based around sort of ambient sounds in the library. So
each one of you sort of you occupied a place in the library for what, 3 months or something? And
yeah, we were in a little glass office just off the main reception area in the library.
Right.
Sitting there and working away, and people could come in and try out all the Hannah's stuff. Was a lot more hands-on because she's a lot more techie, and so she's making all these weird and wonderful little machines with little bits of circuits combined with a whole punch computer punching machines.
Is that a bit like a sort of player piano type
in a way
thing?
But for information, I suppose you could say. So mine was just full of old CDs and books, but people could come in and listen to the stuff.
Right.
As I was working on it. And it culminated in an event in Beveridge Hall, which is one of the big rooms downstairs in the library.
Right. And was Joe Banks and Disinformation, were they scheduled to appear?
Controversially, yes. He was kind of next in line to the next residency.
Right.
But, it's an institution, Senate House.
Yeah.
So there's all these struggles for power within the institution, struggles for space, struggles for funding, which is one thing I wasn't prepared for before I took this on. I thought, it'll just be lovely working in a library, stress-free.
Yeah.
Everybody being very quiet. But in fact, I was right in the middle of this kind of turf war between various departments and, you know.
Okay. So it sounds very stressful, actually.
It was much more stressful than I was expecting it to be. But I suppose it's like any major institution is actually a little microcosm and a little sort of fiefdom on its own. And within that, it's a sort of little. It would remind me of nothing more than Kafka's castle, actually.
Okay.
Where you've got this little sort of citadel where everybody's vying for, but nobody knows quite who's in power and, and everybody's sort of jockeying for position. You know, that's not to give no disrespect to Senate House or to the people that ran the residency. Interesting.
Right.
And yes, not entirely stress free.
I think you were going to play a small item that you played. That was your advert or ident earlier for Resonance, wasn't it?
Yes.
The one you composed.
It did, yes, which I should donate to the station if it.
I'm sure they'd love
to
have
it. Yes, I think maybe it's time to take a little commercial break with a word from our sponsors, shall we?
Yeah, indeed.
Imagine drifting into a perfect sleep. Conform and adapt to the shape of your so you feel completely. And there's never been a better time to buy it. Sale now on. Visit .com.
Okay.
Thank you. So that was a word from our sponsors. Thanks very much.
There's somebody at the door, I think.
There's somebody at the door.
There's somebody coming in. Someone has entered the studio. This is Hannah Thompson. You're not a collaborator as such.
We have collaborated, yes.
Okay.
In various ways. And,
all right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming along, Hannah. Glad to see you. I'm going to bring up guest mic 2 for you, so you can launch straight in.
Hello.
Hello.
Where have you been? Lovely to be here. I've actually just come from Senate House today.
Okay. The pull up a chair.
Ministry of Information.
The Ministry of Truth.
As was. And Ministry of Truth as will be. Right. On Thursday at the Horse Hospital.
Oh, yes, we're just coming to that.
When the clock strikes 19:30.
Right.
I thought it was striking 13. 13, 19.
What was 19:30.
19:30, right.
Well, because it starts at 7:30.
Ah, OK.
I just thought of that on the bus.
OK, so Hannah, you are also a sound artist. You both worked on the Radical Voices programme at...
Hannah preceded me.
Yeah.
I was a Radical Voices.
Right.
Then I was very proud to be technical assistant recording the Radical Voices.
The event, yes. Yeah,
which was great.
Yes, right. She did a great recording. Shall we play? Can I play one of my pieces from the residency?
Indeed. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and then me and Hannah will talk about what we're cooking up.
Okay.
Okay, hang on, let me just find it. This piece is... Well, the main voice you'll hear is the voice of Gudrun Eslin of the Red Army faction, the famous, very glamorous terrorist who carried out a series of daring protests, assassinations and bombings and was later imprisoned in Stammheim, the maximum security jail in Germany. Okay, cheery stuff.
Okay.
Band 313. Gut, nun bekommt zunächst also Frau Enslin in zur Ergänzung der Einlassung zur Sache das Wort.
Einlegungen der Unterklärung verfälschenden
Frau Enslin, nur eine Frage. Wie ist das nun gedacht? Wir haben im Augenblick unser Tonbandprotokoll laufen. Gut.
Meine Sprachregelung, der unsere Erklärung für fälschenden Berichterstattung der Nachrichten Agenturen war. Wir hätten uns von der Sowjetunion distanziert. Dazu ist zu sagen, erstens, die Behauptung ist falsch.
Gut.
Wir haben überhaupt nicht von der sowjetischen Politik gesprochen. Auch deswegen nicht, weil es absurd wäre und nicht unsere Sache ist, die Urteile für Urteilung. Die Sache, die dritte Mitte ist,
Gut.
Im Begriff parlamentarische Politik nur verwirren kann.
Ja, ich komme nicht zu ihm. Sie haben das angeordnet.
Dass
Sie
an die Wand gestellt werden.
Das wird hier in der Hauptverhandlung erörtert. Wir führen gegenüber der Macht das Argument des Rechts ins Feld. Das ist der Punkt.
Auf eine Analyse der Struktur und Politik der chinesischen Partei in der chinesischen Revolution haben wir uns nicht eingelassen aus dem einfachen Grund. Wenn noch keine revolutionäre Organisation einen technologisch so hochentwickelten und psychologisch durchkonstruierten Repressionspotenzial gegenüberstand. Wie wir in den Metropolen. Proletarische Politik ist die bewusste Art. Interpretation des Widerspruchs im Imperialismus. Des Widerspruchs in das System in seiner Reproduktion und Akkumulation produziert und in seiner Politik sich zum Kontrahenten Feind Gegensatz Antagonismus national und international.
Okay, you're listening to Wavelengths on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's guests are Orlando Harrison and Hannah Thompson. So perhaps we should just say something about that. That's a Gudrun Enslin.
Gudrun Enslin, yes.
Yeah, one of the Baader-Meinhof gang.
That's correct, yes. And source material was a CD that Ron Heisler gave me of a recently discovered tapes from the Stammheim trial, the trial of Baader-Meinhof in the Stammheim maximum prison in Germany. It's a prison that was actually, they built, had to build a whole new wing just for the trial and to house the prisoners.
Right.
And it was the kind of the first model for a kind of maximum, for the first maximum security European jail with razor wire and, you know, cameras everywhere and helicopters circling overhead. That's why you got that helicopter in the end. And it was they thought they'd destroyed all the tapes from the trial, but this box of tapes.
Who had destroyed the authorities?
The authorities, yes.
Okay. Why? Because they were. Did they make political speeches during the trial or something?
Yes. And
right.
That's, and you heard one at the end there.
It's, right.
Yeah. But yes, this box of tapes surfaced.
Right.
And with no particular order, they're kind of just random bits from the trial. But but it's amazingly dramatic because you know they have these outbursts and the lawyers. They had a team of about 12 lawyers, all, and it's this kind of they were constantly trying to keep it, stop them, like you say, actually making ideological points and propagating their message because they were terrified that this, the authorities were generally terrified that this was going to catch fire.
You know? Right. So the recordings were official. They weren't from people that had sort of, subversively recorded it.
They're the official recordings.
The official recordings, yeah. Okay. All right. Completely lost the plot now. Sort of.
Can I just say that it was the one when it was played live in the Radical Voices exhibition, that because you had the subtitles on the screen on the video,
yeah,
meant that you were able to listen to it on different levels and be able to understand the content. If you can't speak German and understand time-stretched speech,
yes,
then you could get the sort of dramatic impact from the meaning of the words as well as this.
Was there a visual element to it as well? Then?
Yeah, very simple, but it was, I realised that people would need to understand what the various protagonists were saying. So I actually stayed up all night trying to work out how to put subtitles.
Right.
First of all, I had to get it translated.
But there is a musical undertone, isn't there? There's like a sort of a continuous tone. Has that been added? That was your own addition?
There's some music at the end just to kind of provide a sort of hopeful, revolutionary zeal to the piece.
Okay. You don't feel... Are you romanticising the Baader-Meinhof gang in some way?
I am probably guilty romanticising Baader-Meinhof and to some extent fetishising Gudrun Esslin. In fact, I've been accused of this.
Yeah.
But, she was...
But we're all grown-ups, think
we're able
to make our own decisions.
Yes, thank you.
Because having... This was the second... event at Senate House I went to where there was things in a different language, and when you don't have the means of translating, it feels slightly as though it's cutting people out, because if you don't understand it, then as if it's not worth the bother of helping you to understand. So the fact that it was there, I thought, meant that it was quite democratic.
Right, thank you.
As well as being fetishising.
Right, so that kind of evens it out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if you come to mine and Hannah's night at the Horse Hospital, we're going to talk about it in a minute, you'll be able to see the film with the subtitles.
Oh, really?
So you'll be able to understand what the bloody hell.
What is the imagery of the film?
It's just
it's amazing. You have to be there to really appreciate
it. That's right. Yes, I don't want to give anything away.
Okay.
It's a multimedia extravaganza.
So we're leading on nicely now onto this Hag Night 17. Is that the full title? I think I've missed a bit.
Doublethink.
Hag Night 17 travels to Orwell's 1984 in Doublethink. Sounds from the memory holes of the Ministry of Truth, Airstrip 1, Oceania, 1984, George Orwell. This is an event at the Horse Hospital on Thursday, November the
30th.
The 30th, which is next week, next Thursday, at the Horse Hospital, which is at the back of the Hotel Russell Square. I don't
know. The Colonnade,
Colonnade, thank you. Mm. Yeah, so who's on? What's happening? Apart from you two,
there's we've got a DJ, Oleotronics, who's doing energetic performances. Well, she's DJing, but she has a Game Boy and she does really high energy, brilliant, exciting mixes. And she's bringing the energy to launch us off.
Right.
We've got Raxel 4, Andrew Page with his electronic drone scapes, Archlag, who's a old friend of Orlando and mine, Paul, who is a complete demon, wizard, brain, digital... I don't know how to describe what he does. It is virtually unintelligible. It's so clever.
Right.
Yes, he's a circuit bender extraordinaire.
Well, sort of data bender.
Date, right.
As well.
So, and he just bends out. He's just a massive...
He gets into the brains of the machines and just slowly... messes with them right. in quite a cruel but beautiful way.
Cruel or cool?
Cruel.
Cruel. Okay.
He's very cool as well, because okay. he's also a skateboard legend from the right. Stockwell Park skate park.
Right. Okay.
And that's the only information that I was allowed to give about him on the flyers, were pictures of him skateboarding.
Right. And then each that you
oh,
you
sorry, there's more. And there's
sorry.
Joe Banks disinformation.
Oh, yes.
And Orlando and Stephen Scott, who normally plays with me, but we've been separated by the Thought Police.
Right.
So we've got to cope on our own. So I've got the archives from an installation I did last year at Senate House, the Memory Hole, with messages that were gathered for the installation by the public at last year's Being Human Festival,
right.
which was the Ministry of Hope and Fear. And I've mounted them on a board, and you can interact with the board to trigger the messages. And so that will be an installation at DoubleSync, and I'll be using it in the piece that I'm doing, amongst other sounds and things.
Very good.
Yes.
Okay, so what time does this start? On any perhaps 7, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
7:30?
Yeah.
7:30-ish. At the Horse Hospital, Thursday, November the 30th. Yeah. That's Hag Night 17.
Yeah, tends to be a bit chilly in there. So
it does indeed. Yes. Especially at this time of year.
Yeah, because it's all stone. It's actually an original hospital for horses, so it's got flagstone floor, and they've got little gas heaters. But there will be a bar.
Right. So, okay. To warm you up.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So how do you want to?
Electronics will warm you up as well to start off with, definitely.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that, Hannah, because I happen to have queued up almost. An Ollytronics track. This is called Noise Shed.
Oh, that's where she played it. It's the live performance from Noise Shed
the
in
venue.
August, yeah.
Oh, hang on.
At the Windmill.
Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Oh, just a second. Sorry, no, that's another one of mine. Don't want to hear any more of that.
Hello, my name is Hello, my name is Juliet, and I'd like to tell you about the Live Dead Ghost. Game Boy Live Dead Ghost. Game Boy Live Dead Ghost.
I have here is a square wave waveform. The square wave waveform. The square wave waveform. The square wave waveform. Thank you.
Okay, so Orlando, who's that piece by?
Oleotronics.
Oleotronics. Yeah. And according to the mail out here, originally from Estonia, Oleotronics has been shaking London's electro scene since 2010 as a DJ, playing iconic venues. In the meantime, she's touring with her events called Gleech and DJ sets around Europe.
Yeah.
So you've met this.
Yes, that was a live recording from Noyshed, which was an event that Tim Drage and Lisa McKendrick of Visances, they put on. They were doing one part of a thing in August, and it was called the Noyshed, and she was playing on that, and it was brilliant.
Okay,
cool.
So Hannah, do you want to introduce your piece now? What is this next item?
This is one of the audio files that is triggered from the interactive board, which will be on display through DoubleSync. And it is taking messages that were input by the public onto paper tape in 7-bit ASCII. So the tape messages are displayed. Then you put your hand up towards them and it plays an audio recording of when the tape is fed back into an optical reader, and in real time it's synthesised in speech. So these samples from there are used within this track.
Is this the bit that you were mentioning something about predictive text? Is that something else?
No, predictive text was just I was trying to make some notes on my phone and realised that my machine was taking control of my thoughts and manipulating it for its own benefit, and thought at least religion did it blatantly, like it's trying to change how you think. But these Apple people, they pretend that they're just trying to be helpful so you can do less. So that you can get all your thrills by paying for them in the gym instead of actually making an effort of doing real life. So, yeah, that's what dawned on me. And I thought, yeah, we need some double think.
Right. Shall I?
Yes.
1984. George Orwell of 1984. Considered opinion, understanding and truth that evokes the use of language described in George Orwell's 1984 with post-truth replacing newspeak of type of memory hold.
Thank you. speed 161816 desk you diary transformation capturing the physicality of paper tea aware of new speak air speaker teach gear me or communication data that makes this just recently they for the monster.
So does this piece have a title, Hannah?
It's called DoubleSync 2B at the moment, but okay. The B is because of GPUD 0.5B. A lot of the sounds are field recordings from the Ministry of Truth, the Senate House, and machines designed, well, built by Stephen Scutt, a weird sound generator, an SN voice made from a sort of analog synthesis chip that was used in, I don't know which, one computer game. And these were built by Steve and used in the mix. So it's part a recording of that with samples from the installation.
Right. So this is, well, is this part of your piece that will be on at the horse hospital?
Yes, this is okay. One of the samples triggered by an image on a display board, which will be up at the at DoubleSync on Thursday.
So today's guests were Orlando Harrison and Hannah Thompson, both of whom will be performing at the horse hospital on November the 30th, that's next Thursday, as part of Hagnight 17, Travels to Orwell's 1984 in DoubleSync.
Winter, the beehive is full of only about 10% of the full summer colony bees cluster around the queen, keeping her warm so she does not become infertile. Each bee moved to the center of the cluster to keep warm. The sounds of the bees is calm and almost silent.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.